I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network. Malcolm Holine, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations, my colleague and friend. And we welcome Ilan Berman. Ilan has been our guide over many parts of these last decades on Eurasia continent, particularly when it comes to the sharp end of the stick, Russia, as mentioned. However, today we turn to something fresh to me, not to Malcolm and Ilan, which is North Africa. I've been educated these last years to know that Iran has interests in South America, promoting those interests through its surrogates, Hezbollah. North Africa is new to me, except for many years ago, I believe Malcolm informed me that Iran had an operating post in Chad. That was during the Libyan conflict. Malcolm, this is news to me about Morocco. I've turned this over to you.
Thank you, and it's good to be with you and to have Ilan, who just returned from Morocco, so he can give us a firsthand account of what are the concerns in view of the new administration on the part of Morocco, and particularly in regard to the message that are being sent of determination to confront Iran's nefarious activities, increasingly evident in Africa and especially North Africa.
Right. Well, thank you guys for having me. And it's actually, I think, a very interesting question, because I went to Morocco at the beginning of the month at the invitation of the foreign ministry. I was, you should say, an easy touch, because I was desperate to get out of the continental United States. So it was a unique opportunity, but it was also an opportunity for the Moroccans, because the country is pretty much locked down. They're not really talking to American officials, and there's a lot that's sort of lost in translation. There's a lot that they're not that they want to communicate that isn't being communicated. And one of the most striking things that I heard from multiple people when I was there, multiple officials, is the degree to which they're concerned about what they see as expanding Iranian levels of activity throughout Africa, not just in West Africa, which has historically been sort of the place where Iran has kicked around, but increasingly all over the continent. And they really tie it back to sort of to three motivators that they see. The first is that there's opportunism that's involved, because the Biden administration is more and more not focusing on Iranian regional activities, focusing just on Iran's nuclear program. So the Iranians feel like they have broad sweep and sort of unobstructed view of regional activity. The second is that the maximum pressure campaign of the Trump era really put a crimp in Iran's economic fortunes, and the Iranians have decided to look at North Africa, and in particular in Africa in general, as a support theater, much the same way they looked at Latin America in years past, as a way of circumventing sanctions, as a way of bolstering their economy. But the third driver, and the thing that I sort of really made my ears perk up, was the degree to which they chronologically tied an uptick in Iranian activity to the aftermath of the killing of IRGC commander Qasem Soleimani in January of last year by the Trump administration. It sounded an awful lot like what they were concerned about, most of all, was the idea that Iran was very busy building a support theater through which it can carry out operations that would target the United States, potentially, or potentially American allies, of which Morocco is one.
Ilan, Iran, does it find that it's welcome when these missions arrive in these countries? Do they come with gifts and relationships established? I'm puzzled. They seem to have great success in South America. Now I learn they're having success in North Africa. What's the secret?
Well, and the playbook, by the way, is remarkably similar to what we've talked about with regard to Latin America. And your other guest, Joseph Humeyer, and I have spent a lot of time downrange in Latin America looking at precisely this problem. And so it was striking to me to hear that Iran was essentially using the same tactics all over Africa. It was insinuating itself into local Lebanese expatriate communities. It was setting up cultural centers. It was working on a sub-state level with paramilitary organizations. There was a lot of connectivity, and the connective tissue runs right through Lebanon's Hezbollah militia.
And do you see this manifestation on the part of some of the others in Africa, this concern about the shifting position? Is there concern in Morocco that the U.S., the traditional U.S. position on Western Sahara will shift?
Well, right. And this was sort of this is really the big issue that's front and center on the Moroccan foreign policy agenda. Look, everybody I met with took pains to stress that the fundamentals of the relationship between the U.S. and Morocco are sound. Morocco, after all, is sort of the longest diplomatic relationship that we have. Morocco was the first country to recognize the United States after independence. And so, you know, we have centuries of economic activity, economic connectivity, and political connectivity. So the fundamentals are there. But this is an inflection point in the relationship, because late last year, Morocco became the fourth country to formally normalize relations with Israel. And the Trump administration contributed this crucial piece of the puzzle by recognizing Moroccan sovereignty over the territory of the Western Sahara, which is sort of here in the United States, it was seen as this sort of horse trading politically and a sweetener by the Trump administration. But in Morocco, it was seen as very much as a sort of affirmation of the kingdom's investments in the mid-1970s, as sort of an affirmation of a source of national identity. And all of that is important because the Biden administration right now is reviewing that decision. The Biden administration has undertaken a policy review of effectively every foreign policy action on the, that its predecessor made. And there's trepidation in Rabat that as part of that policy review, you'd have at least a partial rollback of American recognition. And they're cautiously optimistic that won't happen. But obviously for them, it's a huge, huge deal.
Do they fear that Algeria will take advantage of it?
I think they think Algeria is already taking advantage of it. They sort of one of the there were two big losers in the Trump administration's recognition of Moroccan sovereignty over the Western Sahara last year. The first was neighboring Algeria, which is a regional rival and wants the Western Sahara as a sort of a, as a frozen conflict because it ensures Algeria access to the west coast of Africa and sort of import access and things that it wouldn't have otherwise if the territory was solidly Moroccan. And the second is the leftist Polisario Front, which the Algerians support, which has effectively irredentist tendencies. It operates out of Algeria, but its goal is to keep the Western Sahara unsettled and to sort of to drive it in terms of international intervention, to sort of to create a situation where international intervention is welcome. So for them, the Trump administration's decision to recognize Moroccan sovereignty was a big step back. And for them, the policy review that's underway now is potentially a big step forward.
Ilan, when Iran arrives in town, the foreign ministry, does it come with a calling card that says we're about to shake hands with Joe Biden? Do they boast about this?
Well, no. And actually, they don't arrive in town at all, which is sort of, I think, very striking. So the Moroccans were so concerned over the signs that they were seeing about Iranian sub-state infiltration and Iranian cooperation with the Polisario Front that back in 2018, they formally severed diplomatic relations with Iran. So for, you know, it's one thing for a government to signal that they're generally concerned about, you know, nefarious activities on their periphery or inside their country. It's another thing entirely for them to be so concerned that they completely reorient bilateral relations with a foreign country as a result.
So this is subterfuge on Iran's part. This isn't boasting at the embassy front door.
No, not at all. And in fact, there's a tremendous amount of sort of, you know, under the table competition in ideological terms. Because what's happening in Africa now, and sort of, you know, we've talked about this before, but Africa is this sort of this great continent that's in play because it's the youngest population cohort on the planet. I think the median age throughout all of Africa is something like 19 years old. The population on the continent is going to swell to over a billion people by 2050. And so increasingly you're seeing these strains of ideological competition, these wars of ideas between different interpretations of Islam and radical Islam. Iran's part of that equation. The Moroccans are pushing back against them and against sort of extremist strains like the Islamic State. But this is very much in play in Africa.
Ilan Berman is the Senior Vice President of the American Foreign Policy Council, Malcolm Holmline Conference of Presidents. I'm John Batchelor.